learned some things about what we're talking about. We've talked about how the local church is led by a group of people, pastors, overseers, elders. The most common name in the New Testament being elder. And I just read this week, for any of you that have any knowledge of Baptist history, which the most important Baptist missionary in American history was John Mason Peck. He was the first missionary sent out from the Triennial Convention. He was sent to the West, and the West in those days, this was, we're talking 1817, the West was Illinois and Missouri. John Mason Peck started or helped start 900 churches, which is insanity. And here's the good news. I now have a documented proof that some of my relatives helped him start a church. That's pretty exciting. So I know that for a fact, but I think he started every church where I'm from. And I mean, when I say every church, I can just, every little town, every little burg. Most of these were small churches. They were rural churches because people were farmers. By the way, in those days, they called them elders. Most of the pastors were called elders. But because of circumstances, we normally say pastor in most of our churches. Today, we're going to talk about the deacons, that the local church is served by the deacons. And lastly, we'll talk about in future weeks, probably not next week, that the local church is governed by the members or the saints. So let's stand. We'll read some verses together. It's number two in your notes, big number two. I'm going to read the Philippians passage. There are really not a lot of verses that talk about deacons in the local church. There's the passage in Philippians when I'm talking about official deacons, and then Acts kind of talks about what we think, anyhow, is the foundation of the concept of a deacon, and then 1 Timothy gives you qualifications. So Philippians 1, Paul and Timotheus, or Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ. So you have the first piece of I know most Baptists will talk about, as I've said many times, we're under the headship of Christ. And I will say again and again and again, that's fine, but that is mediated through the Scripture. That is not, well, I think Jesus wants us to do this. So really what we are is under the authority of the apostles or the apostles' teaching, which we would then call the New Testament. So anytime we talk about the headship of Christ, we're not talking about some mystical thing where Jesus kind of leads us around. Jesus left the apostles. He chose those men who ultimately wrote the Scripture, and that is our final authority. Not what do we think Jesus would do. That is not our authority. So Paul and Timotheus, or Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, but he writes primarily to the saints. And we will speak about this probably in the new year. The saints, which is kind of funny because oftentimes you'll hear somebody say, well, I'm no saint. And of course, saint is a common word for a believer. So if you're a believer, you're a saint. We'll have to discuss what that means. So he writes to the church. That's the reason we talk about being governed by the members. The local church is the body, the specific important entity. These two groups serve in some way the saints or the local church. In some way, a pastor serves through leading, and the deacons serve through various and sundry ways. So, you have it here. To all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops, our overseers, and deacons. We'll just pray, and then we'll read this when we sit down. Father, thank you for this day. May you bless our time together. May this be a profitable morning, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Deacons. According to your background, everybody in this room, when I mention the word deacon, is going to have a different thought. Some people If I talk to some people about the concept of a deacon, you can start seeing them become angry. And because whatever background they had, deacons controlled the church, controlled the pastors, and they didn't serve, and they hate deacons. There's all kinds of emotions. Now, when I use the word deacon, and by the way, I've already said this, I'll say this again. If you come from a Catholic background or an Anglican background and you use the word deacon, something clicks in your brain that's really not true, but it clicks in your brain that a deacon is the guy in preparation to become a priest. Well, that has nothing to do with the New Testament either. It's just amazing the different things we have that float around in our minds. The two main passages about deacons are found in your notes, so we'll read those together. Acts chapter 6, at least most Baptists believe this is where deacons originated from. It says, "And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring." The King James gives you an odd name, the Grecians. If you're my age, if I say the word Grecian, you think of a hair color. Yeah, you're like, Grecians? The what? By the way, friends, you need to write in your notes so you understand. Grecian here is not talking about a hair color, and it's not talking about Greeks. It's talking about Jewish people who had adapted Greek culture. And even in Jerusalem, you have both groups. You have people, the King James is going to say, and appropriately, I think, Hebrews, and you have Greeks, or Greek whatever. Maybe another better word is Hellenistic, but that doesn't help most people either, does it? Troy, what word would you use? You're a Greek scholar. What if you said Hellenistic, that doesn't help people either, because it's talking about culture and language. What do you translate this as? Yes, but that doesn't communicate to normal people, a Hellenist. But here, it's not talking about a Greek person as opposed to a Jewish person. It's talking about Jewish people who retained traditional ways, traditional clothing, traditional language, traditional habits, and the other people, Jewish people who didn't. Many of them would have maybe lived for a period of time in other parts of the world in the Jewish diaspora. They had learned Greek. They would have adopted that culture. They would have adopted that dress. Look up here, folks. We're really distracted. Look up here. It's this simple. When you walked into a room, you would know the two groups. You didn't have to pray about it. They were both Jewish. They were both Jewish Christians. However, anytime you have differences among people, you have the potential for having, yes, especially when... Now, I want to say this. Lake County Baptist doesn't have this problem. Does anybody know why? There's a secret. We don't have two groups. But if you had a church that had two groups, sooner or later, it's one group saying they. We got too many groups to say they. It doesn't really work. Which they are you going to talk about? So that's what you have. You have people who are enculturated Greeks. This is their culture. Probably their language, they dress like Greek, the Greek culture, they adapted much of Greek culture, probably even to a certain degree the language, and to a certain degree even how they ate. The Hebrews would have been people that were more traditional. That would be the idea. All right, so let's look at this again. There arose a murmuring. Have you ever been in a church setting that murmured? Yes. A griping, a complaining. Of the Grecians, these people who were Hellenistic, and that's what Troy, that is the right word, but I don't know what that communicates to people in America, against the traditional or more traditionally minded Jewish Hebrew Christians. Why? Because for whatever reason, their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, "It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve," which is the verbal form of deacon, diakonane. It is the verbal form of serving or being a deacon. He says, it's not proper for us to leave the word of God in order to serve tables. I'm going to ask you all a question. Is it okay? There's three pastors here, me, three guys, and we got another one. I got a question for you. Is it okay if we serve tables? Absolutely. Is it okay? Here's the problem. The problem shows up right here. It's hard to serve in two different areas and do a good job. I know pastors that work full-time jobs. I wouldn't want to go to one of their churches because very few pastors are capable of producing four sermons a week anyhow. I only know a handful that I think can preach four times a week. And if you work full-time, not going to happen. Just going to be what I'd call thin soup. Let's continue. So the 12th, we don't have yet the whole local church totally organized in a way where we would understand it, but it's early. It says it's not reason for us to leave the Word of God and serve tables, not because it's beneath the pastors to serve. Verse 3, wherefore, brethren, look you out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to, and it's interesting, everybody looking at your text, you do not have to read Greek, but a pastor serves. Because the next word, ministry, is the noun for service. So we're talking, it's not that a pastor, oh, we don't serve, I'm the pastor, you serve me. No, our area of service is different. And it's hard to fulfill both well. That's the idea. So it's not proper for the leaders to serve the tables, not because it's beneath them, but because in verse 4, we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the, what? The service of the Word of God, the ministry of the Word of God. Verse 5, and the saying pleased the whole multitude. That's very interesting. Look up here, folks. Even then, you have the idea of pastors or these aren't pastors exactly, they're apostles. But in one sense, the leaders lead, they're choosing deacons, and the people, yeah, this is a good idea. The people aren't absent. The people aren't saying, okay, you told us what to do, now we have to do it. There always seems to be that agreement, at least from my understanding. We continue. The saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit, and Philip, and some names that are just terrible to pronounce. Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. And Rhonda is correct. Everyone look up here. What was the problem? What was the problem here? Two groups of people. Both groups had widows. One group of widows was neglected. So the apostles come and say, hey, not that it's beneath us, but our job and our purpose is something different. We need to choose men from out among us. He gives some qualifications who will help in this matter to make sure both groups, the widows, are taken care of. Who did they choose? Yeah, every one of them were people that were Greek. Yes, every one. They were Greek names. They were Greek people or Greek culture. They were Jewish, but of Greek culture. One of them, I guess, was a proselyte, so it means he wasn't Greek. I mean, he wasn't Jewish, but he became Jewish and then became Christian. Verse 6, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. And this means, like we lay hands on people. We're not talking about hitting anybody, laying hands on anybody. Got to be specific here. Yes. Verse 7, and the word of God did what? My friend, it's not an accident when you read the passage that when the church functions properly, the church grows and matures. When the church doesn't function properly, we'll blame it on this person or that person or the other person. It's because somewhere along the line, something's out of whack. Something is not happening properly. All right, the qualifications for a deacon, and I'm going to confess to you, I'm going to leave one issue of discussion out, but I'm not going to tell you the issue. So there you go. Verse 8. 1 Timothy 3, verse 8 gives you qualifications for the concept of deacons. It says, likewise must the deacons, and it's just diakonos, it's just servants, but this is an official group. Here are the qualifications that Paul, basically borrowing from Acts, but I think he expands on, says, here's what a deacon must be. Well, he has to be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre. We're back to that dirty money again. But a deacon also must be someone who is mature enough to hold the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. So it can't be a person that got saved yesterday afternoon. Now, look up here, folks. I'm going to talk about this. I wish I would prefer not to, but having pastored now for 31 years, has it been 31 years? This is the 31st year. I've made a few mistakes with deacons. You know the number one mistake I've made? What? How about, let's break that big word down into small words. Choosing people who were not ready. A deacon cannot be a person that just came in off the street. A deacon has to be somebody that understands the faith also. And, you know, because that person, no matter how you look at it, even though a deacon's primary function is serving, people are going to talk to deacons. You want deacons to be people who are, yes, servants, but people who are, that they are, how about this? Are you one of us? Are you a Bible-believing, fundamental Baptist, and this is who you are? I've made some mistakes there. I won't talk about all of them, but we'll talk about a few of them later. Let's continue, please. Yes, sir. Oh, Acts 6:7. Yes. I think it's the whole process. I think it's the fact that the people were being... How does the Word of God really increase? It's a multitude of things. You know, we can talk about God's sovereignty, but we can also talk about the means. How about these widows not being... Look up here. We got three groups here. This is... Where's Louis? You're in the bad group. This is the good group. That's the okay group. This is the bad group. When you start having friction in a church, the thing that gets lost is the Word of God. And this doesn't, because you're having friction. You know, this group doesn't like this group, that group doesn't like that group, and the next thing you know. So I think there's many reasons why the Word of God increased. I think it increased because the pastors or the leaders in this case were able to do their job. I think it's because there was a lot less. What if you're griping? Every time you come to church, you look at somebody and rawr, rawr, rawr. Well, you're really going to be a great witness on your job. And you're, oh, well, no one ever gripes about their church on the job. I will say this. I don't have this issue because I have had to learn the hard way that you just can't pay attention to gossip and criticism. And you have to have thin skin. Thick skin. What is that phrase in Tagalog? Dada. It's about the carabao in. Yes, the thick skin of a carabao. I like that. Somebody said the qualifications of a pastor is the mind of a scholar, the heart of a child, and the hide of a rhinoceros. But truthfully, there are people. Well, first of all, they do it with their children, and they wonder why their children go to hell. So they go to church, and they spend all their time griping about their pastor or their youth pastor or somebody, and they gripe to their children. Wow, that makes sense to me. But yeah, Louis, does that answer your question? I think it was a whole gathering of things. The people were happy. People's needs were being met. The deacons were serving, eliminating the pastors or the leaders from doing that. All of this works together for a very positive thing. Of course, God's going to tend to use that more. Look back at verse 10. Verse 10 is a very important thing. And let these also first be proved that they may use, or they, in the office is not in Greek. It's just that they may be a deacon or serve well, being found blameless. And this goes back, by the way, friend, to this right here. I think one thing that I've had to learn is to make sure a person has demonstrated themselves to be a servant and to be one of us and to meet the qualifications and have proven that over time. So you don't bring somebody into the church and say, would you like to be a deacon? Do churches do this? Yes. I've never done that, but I've had people that I won't go there. I might go there later. Let's continue reading. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife. No cabit. You say, I don't know what that means. No concubines. You say, I don't know what that means. Yeah, no mistresses. That's the idea. Husbands of one wife, ruling their children in their own houses well. And my daughter asked a question about that and with pastors. So we'll bring that up in a minute. Remind me. You have to ask this question. Basically, this is the question. How long is a pastor or a deacon responsible for their children? Troy, is that a hard question? It's a very difficult question. All right, next verse. We'll talk about this verse a little later. For they that have used the office of a deacon well, that have, and basically, office is not here. I hate that extra word, because then this goes back to the Anglican Church. There's no word for office here, friend. Those who have served well. That's all that says. Those who have served well. No office, not in either text. Those who have served well purchase themselves a good degree. I'll talk about that in a minute. And great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. We'll skip the next verses and come back to them. Let me give you some basic thoughts about the concept of a deacon. Deacon is a transliterated and therefore untranslated word. It is a transliterated, more or less, and therefore untranslated word for diakonos, meaning what? Servant. So when you see the word deacon in the New Testament, don't think of deacon boards. Don't think of the office of deacon. Think of a person who is a servant. I don't think that's a bad thing to think, but I think we have to start there. Look at me. Otherwise, whatever you grew up around or whatever your family grew up around, when you think deacon, I can guarantee you this. If this guy here goes to where he works and you have Roman Catholics and Greek Orthodox there and you say he's a deacon, they're going to have a whole different opinion of what a deacon is and what you do. They're going to think, oh, you're training for the ministry or something. That's just normal. But that's not what a deacon is. A deacon is a servant. That's all the word means, or that's the primary meaning. Next in your notes. And here's where we run into problems. The servant, according to Jesus, is the greatest of all. Do we all agree with that? Now, how can that be? How can the deacon, now let's be goofy, but not too goofy. How can Louis Hedas be greater than Tim Kowak? Well, you're missing the point. He serves in his areas of service, and he serves in his area of service. I think the problem is it's not talking about if a person becomes a deacon, he's the greatest of all, because actually we all ought to want to serve. Serving is what we do, I think. The deacon, according to Jesus, is, or the servant, is the greatest of all. All, next in your notes, all, and I mean all, should aspire to be servants or to become a servant. Everyone. Now, in this church, look around, folks. In this church, we have people who are not deacons that frankly could be deacons quite easily. And I mean that as on functioning officially. But everybody in this room ought to be a person that says, God has saved me. Now, where does he want me to serve and how does he want me to serve? Tupper back here, he's a servant. He's in charge of the ministry of irritation. Is that what that means? IT? No. By the way, people say this. Do you have women deacons? You said no. We absolutely have women deacons here. If we're talking about servants, actually, we have a bunch of them. But see, that's where you get this office nonsense and, well, I don't get the office. Folks, if you want to serve for the office, you got it all wrong. Yes, ma'am. See, I'm going to avoid that question. I will just say this. There have been Baptist churches, and Troy, do you run into this? And I don't even know this is unbiblical, that do have official deaconesses. Have you been to that, Troy? Or are you not sure? Yes, that's the best way. Thank you. You learned something yesterday, brother. I think in this church we normally treat our deacons' wives as deaconesses. But I'm not going to go any further. We need to have a church meeting this morning, folks. Oh, I'm going to move on here. So, deacon is the transliterated and therefore untranslated word diakonos, meaning servant. The servant is the greatest of all. All should aspire to become a servant. May I say this, friend? We have many servants in this room that are not deacons, officially. I'm not trying to build anybody's ego. Listen, we got a lot of great guys in this room right here that are not deacons that could be in any other church. People would die for them to be a deacon. Some of them don't even care if they have the title. Yes, and that's the reason they're already deacons. Who cares about the title stuff? If you're an official deacon, all that means in this church is you have to go to meetings and you got to deal with problems you don't want to deal with, basically. Isn't that what the deacon's meetings are? You know, all the stuff you don't want to talk about, that's what we have to talk about. All right. Next in your notes is the biggest lesson Pastor Warren has learned in 31 years. Deacons are men who are already, what? Already serving and who already meet the biblical requirements. And my friend, if I could say anything important to you, that's you don't take a male. First of all, it's amazing in our church that we have men that serve. That's pretty rare. I can tell you a half a dozen churches this quick that do not have deacons. And you say, why don't they have deacons? They don't have any men that meet the requirements, and they don't have any men that are interested in serving. And I'm thinking, really? We got a bunch of guys that serve. And we have as many that could easily be a deacon. I don't want to mention names in here, but there's a couple guys I can think right now that could easily be a deacon tomorrow. We don't need any more official deacons. But the key is this. When you run into this problem, in some churches, this is what people do. They see Phil. Phil's a new member. You guys have been here a few months. Phil's a nice guy. Maybe he'll be a deacon in this church before you guys get transferred out of here. I don't know. Or she'll be the deacon and you'll know. But think about this. What they do is, in some churches, they see a young guy that's doing stuff and is interested, his wife's doing stuff. We'll make him a deacon. Wrong move. What you do is you look for people who are already meeting the qualifications of a deacon and who are, hear me, already. You go to churches and they look at this. They look and they see out here and say, who's got the most money? Well, don't blurt out like that. Who's got the most money? Who's got important positions? And they make them deacons? By the way, you can't make a person into a servant. Somebody can grow into a servant and become a servant. The last two guys that became deacons here, official deacons, Cliffy was a deacon here before and has always been a servant, and Ade, are you a deacon here? By the way, and your wife is not a deaconess, by the way, that's for sure. What questions did I ask you? We looked at qualifications, and I already knew these guys were serving in various ways. That's what you look for. You want to get that up front, not later. The later is a big problem, friend. In Lake County Baptist, I will not mention names, since most of you won't even remember. I made two mistakes. You say, who did you make the mistakes with? One guy started, his first name began with a B, and I think he became a deacon after I got here. He might have been one before I got here, but his wife was totally insane, and he lasted and took out of this church, and I called him, and I said, where are you at? And I still remember his statement. He says, you're the first Baptist pastor that I ever heard that believed in gambling. That was it. No joke. You said, yes, Ralph, I gamble regularly. The other one was just not mature enough. And frankly, his wife wasn't either. And he went back to his drinking and all his stupidity. That was in the early days. I don't make those mistakes today. I hope. All right, we continue. I believe they must be men who are already serving and who already meet the biblical requirements. Next, they must be men chosen by whom? The congregation. As led by the pastors. Men chosen by the congregation as led by the pastors. Now, how do we choose deacons in this church? Pastor Kwok, why don't you explain to people how we do it? And pastors. So in our church, the pastors and the deacons get together when we need some deacons, official deacons, and we discuss people's names. And what do we look for? What do we look for?
Are they serving?
Are they already serving, and are they qualified? That's what we look for. And we there's two things we don't do here. I'm sorry, I love you, but we do not just say, who all would you like to be a deacon? Oh, no. The second thing we don't do, and I know churches do this differently, we don't have a beauty contest. You know, you have one deacon that you need and you have five guys running. So it becomes whoever you like. That's really, so what we do is very simple, as you well know. We had two openings. We present two people that the pastors and deacons feel. And by the way, after we talk about this within us, then I go talk to them, make sure they feel reasonably comfortable. And have gotten their wife's permission. Go ahead. Well, yes. Yes, because I've been, and I know some of you think Pastor Warren's a dictator. I am a tater, but not a dictator. I've been shot down on a couple people before, so there you go. I can think of two people I've been shot down on. One of them I was very happy now that I was shot down on. So, you know, I suggest, and I'm not the Pope, we actually have a discussion. Is it a bad discussion? No. But listen, there's several guys right here right now that probably meet the requirements of being a deacon in our church. Could be one tomorrow. That is actually a blessing. Talk to Pastor Melvin. He's got one guy, Johnny R., and that's about it. And I know three or four other churches that don't have any males. You say that are leaders, they're not leaders, and they're not servants. That's tough. Gada. Wow. Troy. Oh, yeah. What we do is we have this conversation among us. What we do, to be real specific, the last time we did it, we needed a couple people to replace Mr. Losey, Dr. DeGraw, really. And we said, who do we recommend? And by the way, the recommendation did not come from me in these cases. Both Ade and Cliffy were both recommended and voted unanimously among us. And then I went to him, and I went to him. Yes, of course. And then we present that to the church. Yes. Yes, sir. And the church votes. The church has always voted, I think, for these people, except Linda, you voted against Ade this time. She keeps saying that. All right. Yes, that's what we do. Again, thing we don't do is we don't have one slot and have three people or five people where it's like a beauty contest. That is just totally weird. Weird. In your notes, deacons serve the purposes. How do I say that? Oh, no. I got that wrong. Deacons serve the people. I still got that wrong. I have something different in my notes than I have here. It's deacons serve the pastors in the local church. I have it written wrong in my notes, and it's like very confusing. Deacons serve the pastors in the local church to fulfill its God-given purposes. So Louis had asked to me, that's the answer to Acts 6. The deacons in our church help do 1,000 things so the pastors can do what they're supposed to do and the local church can move forward. To me, that's the key of all of this. Next, deacons serve needs that allow the pastors to serve their purposes. However, all serve. So don't ever think of this. Pastors, because I think you get this opinion in some churches. I'm not opposed to working. I actually like physical work. I like, you know, this morning when I, in a period of time this morning, I like physical stuff. I lift weights, try to 4 or 5 times a week. I don't mind moving desk. I don't mind shoveling. None of that bothers me. But I am not cutting grass here. You say, why? It's real hard to cut grass and do the things I'm supposed to be doing. I don't mind cutting grass. Is it a big deal? It's not beneath me. Come on, I was in the Navy. When they introduce you to the Navy, you should get to clean the heads for the first 6 months. Come on. You know, once you're in the Navy, and some of you are like, clean the what? The bathrooms, folks. Trust me, you do that for 6 months, you can do anything. I've done everything. None of it's beneath me or beneath him or beneath any pastor. But it's real hard to do everything and be every place. And, of course, I have a weakness and a strength. I am not a control freak. I'm not going out and checking his job of cutting the grass. I know that might have happened here in the past. It isn't going to happen with me. I got better things to do. I'm not into micromanaging people. I figure if you're a person that wants to serve, you can figure out how to do it. So deacons serve the pastors and the local church to fulfill its God-given purposes. Deacons serve needs that allow the pastors to serve in their purposes. However, again, how many serve? Now, think about around this room. There are guys in this room that are not deacons. Jim Duncan's not a deacon. Does he serve? Serves more than just about anybody I know. So is he a deacon? If you mean a servant, absolutely yes. Now, he was a retired captain in the Navy. He could walk in here and say, I'm not doing any of that. See, that's part of the problem with the CEO mentality. Everything is beneath me. No, nothing's beneath us. Glad to do anything. What day was it, Christy? I came into your room to deliver your drink. Quit messing around with the coffee. I come into your room, and then that's the time the two ladies show up. She didn't even ask. She just assumed that I'd watch your kids. So here I am down there. Was it fifth grade, sixth grade? I don't know what it was. I didn't do anything. I just sat there and looked dumb. They were doing work. She took off. She had to do some work. Is that beneath me? Look, at nothing's beneath us. Next in your notes. The service of a deacon, and this is a big word, might lead to a different form of service. It might lead to a different form of service. And you say, what do I mean by that? Turn back to the previous page, verse 13. 1 Timothy 3:13. For they that have, and it just means this, those that have served well, that's all that is, purchase themselves a good degree. And it's according to what that word means, and there's a lot of debate. And great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. So my thinking is this. Out of our deacons, occasionally, Noel Hippolito might become a pastor. Now that doesn't mean everybody needs to. He was a servant in this church. My goodness, you were our deacon way back, Noel. Came back and was a deacon in this church. He went to Central Seminary, graduated. He's now serving in other areas in the Philippines. And he preaches in churches around here. So sometimes it seems like some people who serve well, God then says, you know, do the ministry in the line of being a pastor. That's all it means. And how do we know this from the Bible? Two of the original deacons became, I think you'd call them preachers. Stephen, full of faith and power and great wonders and miracles among the people. And then there was a fellow named. So out of the original 7 servants, 2 of them went into some kind of full-time ministry. Well, one of them wasn't a very long ministry, but he was in full-time ministry. Let's see here. We're going to quit here, but I'm going to ask this question. We're going to have to spend a couple minutes. What about this question? When it says that the deacons have to have their children under control, same thing it says about pastors, what does that mean? Is it important? See, I think it's important when we choose a deacon to make sure he understands something about being a father and his wife understands about being a mother. Does that mean, let me just ask the question. So a man has 5 children And those children grow up, and one of those children cuts ties from the Lord. Troy, is this a problem in our circles? Huge. Does that mean the pastor or the deacon shouldn't be a pastor or a deacon? Rhonda. What if their wife is approving that behavior? I'm not going to answer the question. We're going to pray and be done. We'll talk about this next week. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the privilege we have of looking at your word. May this be a beautiful day as we consider Christmas. And thank you for the choir. We ask your blessings on them and on this day in Jesus' name.